Today our text is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which you all should be quite familiar with by now, and Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this." And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, 'Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me.' The second servant also came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me.' Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, 'Master, I know you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours.' His master replied, 'You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I hadn't sown, and I had gathered crops where I hadn't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers so that when I returned, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth.' This is the word of God for the people of God."
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. Perhaps one of the most important elements in any relationship is the ability to trust the other person, whether it be a family member, a spouse, a dear friend, a teacher, someone in authority, a figure in your life, your coworkers. But that ability to trust is vital to a healthy relationship. We need to know that the people are not going to hurt us, that they're not going to betray us, that the other person is real and authentic, that what you see is what you get. There's no pretense about them. That they will be honest to us and with us, that they'll stand by us through thick and thin, regardless of what is going on in our lives, that they will be there. This morning, David and Jim said, "We've got your back." So, so they're there for me this morning. And they need to know that we care enough about them to invest ourselves in their lives. To invest ourselves in their lives. But it's often hard today to know who you can and you cannot trust, especially in today's world of social media, where people put on social media a persona that when you actually meet them in person, you find quite often they're not like the person they project in social media. Nothing like the person you would have expected. Sadly, for those not in the church, there is also a trust issue with Christians and the church. Now, it's hard for us to see that because we're here today because we love our church. We love being a part of a congregation and caring about one another. We love being in a place where we grow, we worship together, we learn together, we serve together. Many of you have friendships in this church that go back years, and you would not even begin to think about not trusting the church. But there are many in today's world who do not have any trust at all in the church, in faith, in God even. Kerry Newhoff cites a Barna Group study that says while 80% of Christians have a positive view of the church, only 21% of non-Christians do. That's a big difference, a big gap. Only 21% of people who are non-Christians see the church in a positive light. And then a 2020 article, Reaching Those Who've Been Hurt by the Church on carenet.org, paints this picture by highlighting some other surveys on the issue, one of them also being a Barna research, which reports that a large majority of the nation's unchurched population is drawn from the sector comprised of people who consider themselves to be Christian. Most unchurched people, more than 4 out of 5, were formerly regular participants in church life, many of whom departed after an ugly incident that hurt them deeply. After an ugly incident that hurt them deeply. And of course, there are many kinds of incidences that can hurt them deeply, but one that we've heard of quite often in the news are all of the sex scandals in some of the churches. A 2019 unchurched report by the Billy Graham Center Institute and Lifeway Research goes further, saying a third of the people who used to attend church no longer attend specifically because they lost trust in God, the church, or Christians. So there's a great perception problem that we have to overcome in today's world. There are other factors that keep people away from church, but that alone gives us a glimpse at the problem we face in reaching people for Christ today. And you probably have heard people in your own experience talk about being hurt by the church. Sometimes it's regarding being judged by the church, and we've heard that recently as we have done some work across the street. I've had other people share that with me, that they've felt judged, and so they didn't feel comfortable in church because they felt like they were not welcome. How can we as Christ followers be an instrument of healing in those wounds and establishing relationships of trust once again? What role does our faithfulness play in building a bridge of reconciliation? The parable we read today from Matthew is often read in the context of either a stewardship campaign or a message on our individual giftedness and how we use or don't use those for ministry. But at the heart of the parable, at the very core of the parable, is the message of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the 7th attribute or manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit identified by Paul in Galatians. And as we have been unpacking the fruit of the Spirit, we have come to understand the manifestations as relational in nature. They are relational, how we relate to other people. How the Holy Spirit enables us to relate to others as Christ relates to us. So with this in mind, what does it then mean for us to exhibit faithfulness? First, we must understand what faithfulness is, and I'm not going to attempt to give you a huge definition. We all can think of things that we consider to be faithful. But our opening hymn of praise this morning was "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I've mentioned before that's one of my favorite hymns. It got me to Atlanta and back I don't know how many times for 2 years. Singing that song in that left lane just going. I thought, this is what God's called me to do. God's going to be faithful. So I just sang. But it's a hymn based on Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, which reads, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." As Christ followers, as those who profess our belief in God, who relates to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we understand faithfulness by experiencing God's faithfulness to us. Scripture is replete with God's faithfulness to us, the children of God, from the first verse to the last. From cover to cover, it is story after story of God's being faithful to God's people, at the same time, our being unfaithful to God. But we see God's faithfulness in God's provision, God's protection, God's presence. But it was more than just singing to our basic needs. Part of God's faithfulness to his children is also risking in us, risking in trusting us to continue his work. Hear that again. Part of God's faithfulness to his children is risking in trusting us to continue his work. He took a huge risk when he created us to be a part of his ongoing work in the world, trusting us to be faithful to his faithfulness. As God the Father calling such people as Abraham, Moses, Deborah, Esther, David, the prophets. As Jesus the Son calling the 12 to follow him as apprentices, then commissioning them to go and make disciples of others as he had made of them. And then as the Holy Spirit empowering the disciples and early Christ followers, which continues in us today as we are empowered. God lived up to his promise to be our sovereign God and to recognize us as co-workers in the faith. Not to be a dictator or a micromanager, but to entrust us. He was faithful to us in entrusting us. God invested God's self in us and then trust us to invest ourselves in others. So let's look at that parable in this light. Not a stewardship light, not a talking about our spiritual gifts light. But let's look at it in this light. John Buchanan says about this parable and feasting on the word, the point here is not really about doubling your money and accumulating wealth. It is about living. It is about living. It is about investing. It is about taking risk. It is about Jesus himself and what he has done and what is about to happen to him. Mostly it is about what he hopes and expects of them after he is gone, them being his disciples. It is about being a follower of Jesus and what it means to be faithful to him. And so finally, it is about you and me. As you heard in the parable, the man entrusted his possessions to his servants as he left town. Two of the three took what they had been entrusted with and invested it, resulting in an increased amount. Thinking he was doing the right thing, the third, however, buried what he had been given because he was afraid. He didn't want to risk angering the manager by losing what had been placed in his care. The faithfulness of the servants was found in their willingness to take a risk or not take a risk. The risk of investing in what had been given to them for safekeeping. Even had they invested and not reaped a profit, they still would have been faithful. Hear that, folks. Even if they had invested and not reaped a profit, they would have been faithful. Not everybody we are going to encounter in our walk as we serve God in the world is going to necessarily come to know Christ. But they're definitely not if we don't take the risk to share Christ with them, are they? So that is not a failure. The risk of investing what had been given to them for safekeeping, and even though the man had simply asked them to take care of his possessions, was the key point. This parable, Buchanan points out, is about a faith that is active. And James talks about that, doesn't he, in his letter? Where he says, faith without actions is dead. Not a faith that simply adheres to a doctrine or correct theology. Rather, he says, it is based on seeing Jesus live out his faith as he invested it in his disciples. As he invested in the marginalized, resulting in a target being placed on his back for living the love about which he spoke. And of course, ultimately, that led to his death. When Jesus commissioned his disciples just a few chapters later in Matthew, he was entrusting them with his greatest possessions. The lives of men and women, boys and girls who did not yet know him. He was entrusting the remaining 11 with his greatest possessions, which were you and me. Jesus was acting faithfully. The disciples then had a decision to make, to either invest in the lives of those who had been entrusted to their care or not. I shudder to think where the church would be or not be today had they not invested in the lives of others. If they had been like that one servant who just said, no, this is too risky. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm just going to sit on it. Where would we be today? I shudder to think where the church would be today had people not invested in us personally. If those people that gathered around us as we have grown in our faith, if they had not invested in us, where would we be today? Where would you be? Where would I be? I probably wouldn't be standing right here. We have been entrusted with the care for the lives of others, some already in the church, but many who are not. And of those who are not, a large majority of them have lost trust and faith in the church, in God, in anyone who professes Christianity. Our faithfulness to them, our faithfulness to God, is in how we care for them. And whether or not we pour into them the love of Christ that has been poured into us. And whether or not we are faithful as God is faithful to us. Where will we be tomorrow if we do not invest in those who have been entrusted to our care? Buchanan writes, how important is this personally in terms of how we live our lives? Jesus' warning is that the outcome of playing it safe, of not caring, of not loving passionately, not investing yourself, not risking anything, is something akin to death, like being banished to the outer darkness. And folks, that's what will happen if we don't invest ourselves in others. We will see that in the church. Then he goes on to say, here Jesus invites us to be his disciples, to live our lives as fully as possible by investing in them, by risking, by expanding the horizons of our responsibilities. To be his man or woman, he says, is not so much believing ideas about him as it is following him. It is to experience renewed responsibility for the use and investment of these precious lives of ours. It is to be bold and brave, to reach high and care deeply. Faithfulness, our faithfulness seen by others, is how we are willing to be bold and brave and to care high and deeply about them. And when they see that faithfulness, and they see it as real and genuine and authentic, then things begin to happen in their lives. So faithfulness is overcoming our fear of getting it wrong. The only getting it wrong is not doing anything. Our fear of the other, of differences in ways of life. There's no two people in this world that are just exactly alike. Even twins are different. They may look alike, they may do things close to each other, but even they are different. Our fear of the unknown. Well, folks, our fear of the unknown keeps us from doing a lot of things, and we'll never know if we don't attempt, do we? And our fear of risking to love others and that love not being returned. We have to overcome those fears, and we can only overcome those fears by the Spirit working within us. What we see when we exhibit faithfulness in authentically loving as Jesus loves is an increase in our investment. When we are truly risking loving others as Jesus loves, when we are faithful in that, then we do see an increase in our investment. Now, that may not exactly equate to people in the pews, but it does look like this. It may look like more good days than bad days in the lives of those we invest in. It may look like someone making better life choices because now they're thinking about how their lives should also mirror the life of Christ. It may look like feelings of being loved and valued by God rather than feeling that no one cares and God doesn't care. It may look like a desire for them to pay it forward. Last week, one of the ladies grabbed a sandwich, and then we saw her walk down to the curb where a couple of ladies and with some kids had come up to the curb to wait on the bus. And Nathan walked over, and she had given her sandwich to the children. And she was afraid to come get another one because she was afraid we would be mad. And Nathan said, "No. You're doing what we're doing. You're sharing love." And so when we invest in the lives of others, then we find they want to do likewise. It may look like an increased prayer life. People who begin to think, well, maybe there's something about this prayer that's true and works and is real, if anything, but to help us get closer to God. And hopefully it does look like a new or renewed relationship with Christ. Our faithfulness in investing in the lives of others is profitable. At the end of the day, or at the end of our lives, what will we hear with regards to those Jesus has placed in our care? What will we hear regards to our faithfulness? Will we have loved people into the kingdom? Will they have found us to be faithful to the one we profess to follow? The one who lived love in every word and action? I pray that you and I always will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," as we are boldly taking risks to heal the wounds, build the bridges, transforming lives, as we are living faithfully by investing in the lives of others. Let us pray. Oh God, it is so easy for us to think of faith as just a set of beliefs. But this parable and James also in his letter reminds us that faith isn't faith until it's acted out, until it manifests itself in how we live our lives before others and with others, in relationship with others. Your faithfulness shows itself in how you trust us. You created us to be co-workers with you, and you have trusted us to be that. Forgive our unfaithfulness. But you continue to call us. You haven't given up that we will live into that. So you continue to call us to invest ourselves in others as well, to exhibit our faithfulness in investing our lives into their lives, so that through that, you can work and bring about transformation. Lord, we do pray that at the end of each day and at the end of our lives, that we hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Not because we just think it's nice to hear that we need that affirmation, because it will mean that we have been faithful to you truly, and we have been faithful to those that you have entrusted to our care. Lord, let us to go forth today and be bold and brave and invest all that you have given us in the lives of those around us who you have entrusted to us. Amen.